The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30 p.m. Stuart Beasley, Andy Holding and Sean Quinn will be your team in the studio. We have jumps racing from Ascot, Haydock and Fosslass in the afternoon. We'll finish the day with two all-weather meetings, one domestically at Wolverhampton and one over in Ireland at Dundalk. So five meetings to look forward to. Plenty to go out. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Ben Bramley. How are you, Ben?
Hi, Mark. Yep, fine, fiddle, thank you. I'm in good order. Really looking forward to the racing on Friday. It's competitive racing, isn't it? And I think we're going to take a gander at this Betfair Chase on Saturday as well. So I think when we were doing the podcast last Friday, there was a feast of racing upcoming. We've had the Paddy Power meeting, Betfair meeting this Saturday, then we move on to the Tingle Creek meeting. Hennessy, and then the Tingle Creek meeting. So an absolute bonanza for jumps fans, isn't it?
It is. We're in the middle of four fantastic weekends in a row, so we're spoilt for choice at the moment. And Ascot and Haydock get their cards underway on Friday. Continue on to Saturday, where we'll see the feature race of the day, the Betfair Chase, and a fantastic lineup in this year's renewal, Ben.
One of the best, Mark. I've been thinking here, in terms of this century, I can't remember a better field assembled outside of the major festivals, you know. The only race that I could think of that would possibly match this would be the 2004 Tingle Creek that featured Moscow Flyer, Azurtiup and Wellchief, that were all horses rated around about 180, you know. Wellchief was the up-and-coming horse at that point, and Moscow Flyer beat those. But this Haydock race on Saturday, you've got 180 rated chaser in the shape of Bobsworth, and then you've got four more 170 rated plus horses in the shape of Q Card, Long Run, Silviniaco Conti and Tidal Bay. Throw into the mix the best staying novice of last year, Dynast, a Gold Cup runner-up, the Giant Bolster, and a dark one in the shape of Wadame. And what a lineup that is. There's no dead weights in there at all, is there?
No, it's brilliant. You could seriously make a case for each and every one of them, which is good.
I've been going through the race, Mark, and if you take the weights literally, the official ratings, then Bobsworth is clearly the one to beat, isn't he? He's rated £7 superior to Silviniaco Conte, the racing here at level weights, £8 higher than Q Card. And Dynast, who's probably will be fancied by many, he's rated 159. He has £21 to find on the established horses, so it's a tough race. Do you have a view on it yourself?
I do, actually, yes. I like Silviniaco Conte. I'll go through the betting. Bobsworth is 9-4, Silviniaco Conti 5-2, Dynast is 11-2, 6-1 for Q Card, 8s for Tidal Bay, 12s for Long Run, 16-1 for Wadame, and the Giant Bolster is the 20-1 outsider. Bobsworth, of course, the Gold Cup hero. He got the better of Silviniaco Conti in that race. He was a faller in the race, but travelling well at the time. And I just think that at this stage of the season, Silviniaco Conti is going to be a little bit further on than Bobsworth. I think the flat track at Haydock will suit Silviniaco Conti more than Bobsworth, because he wants that galloping track. He wants probably all of the 3.25 miles. I just think this could be Silviniaco Conti's day, and I'm looking forward to that match. Just that match alone, let alone the rest of them in there.
Yeah, I would endorse that entirely. I think it is Silviniaco Conti's time of year. I think he won the Charlie Hall last year and then backed up in this race, and he was primed for action early on, wasn't he? Whereas Bobsworth, more of a grinder. At the top of the hill, you would have said in the Cheltenham Gold Cup that Silviniaco Conti was going better than Bobsworth, and he needed all that 3 miles, 2.5 furlongs. So I tend to agree with you, even though there's that £7 differential, that Silviniaco Conti, his season will be more geared towards early season action and perhaps the King George than Bobsworth, who will have one target in mind. But I can't get out of my mind, you know, Q Card, who performed well in the Haldon Gold Cup, has the advantage of a run. He demolished the field in the Ryanair First Lieutenant, who had some great lines over 3 miles in Ireland last year. He's only £8 inferior to Bobsworth, and with the cobwebs blown away, you may remember the King George last year. Q Card well fancied. Many people will say he didn't stay there, but I would take a contrary view that he missed the beat at the start. He made mistakes at the first two. He couldn't get into a rhythm at all on the first circuit and got involved in the race on the second circuit. So I'm going to give him another chance over 3 miles, I think. It's an extended 3 miles here, 3 miles and 1. If you're asking me a horse for my life to win this race, I would draw in with you and go for Silviniaco Conti. But if you're asking me to which horse is the best value at the moment, I would say the cue card each way. Do you say 8-1 chance?
6-1 he is.
6-1. Yep. I still think that's a reasonable bet, you know. I think you take Bobsworth out of the race on the premise that he will have other targets. Dangerous to dismiss a horse that's won at 3 Cheltenham Festivals, but I think we'd agree with that view. But what a race, an absolute treat, isn't it?
It is, yes, and singing from the same hymn sheet as you as well with cue card. I thought at 7-1 yesterday, so it has been backed. I thought that's the each way play in the race, that's the value.
The only thing I'd say about an each way bet is when you've got a horse that has questionable stamina, it could bomb out of the frame completely, yeah. Which is, I'm talking myself into an each way bet, but there's always that danger that if it doesn't stay, it goes out the frame, because you've got strong stayers in the race, none stronger than Tidal Bay, who we saw win the West Yorkshire Hurdle, and has been such a stalwart over the years. I wasn't expecting this race to be so strong when Tidal Bay was lining up. 171 would normally get you banging the money here, but he's got it all to do, hasn't he?
Yeah.
What a race.
Yeah, one we haven't really touched on. Long run, very disappointing on season of reappearance. There was a picture published on the Racing Post website that showed just how hard he hit that fence on reappearance, which I didn't think he hit it as hard as that, but he's full on in the chest, and that's why he's come back so disappointing. But he's better than that, isn't he, still?
Oh, you'd think so. I mean, there's two freeze frames there, isn't there? One where he's breasted it completely, and then another one where his nose is just on the other side lateral with the fence. But I'm not sure. I mean, Long Run did peak very early in his career. French bred as well. One thing that I've always said about these French breds is that Corto Star rather bucked the trend in terms of his longevity, whereas my view is that once Long Run goes, he will go categorically, and he'll finish fifth than Charlie Hall like he has. He'll be out the money here, and you'll never see him quite get back to his brilliant best. I might be wrong there, but I just think that these horses, even though they're of similar ability and ratings at the moment, will just be progressing while there's that possibility that he is now regressing. So of all the top ones, I'd probably stick a fork in Long Run, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. You wouldn't have got 12-1 about Long Run at any point last season, so that's why I asked the question. But
inconceivable, isn't it? If you think, I mean, he was King George winner last year, wasn't he, beating Captain Chris in the King George, and you imagine he'll go back there again, because that's twice he's won that race, isn't it, the King George? So, yeah, but he's fit, he's had the run as well, but I've just got my doubts about Long Run. Even with that mistake taken into consideration, you know, it wasn't the best Charlie Hall, was it, by any means, with Wayward Glance being in the mix over the last fence and Harry Topper grinding it out. And this is a different test altogether. This is a genuine Grade 1 contest.
OK. So, in the Betfair chair, then, Silviniaco Conti, the pick, and cue card is the value in the race. We'll hear more about that, I'm sure, on Saturday's Racing Podcast. We'll also be hearing from AP McCoy this weekend, so get his thoughts on the race. Plenty to look forward to, but right now we're going to look at Friday's action, and the last three races at Ascot are the three that will come under the radar, and 2:40 is where we start, and this is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 3 furlongs, 7 of them in the lineup. And where do you want to start in this one, Ben?
Well, it's going to be a really competitive race betting wise, I think, Mark, so you could start with any one of them, to be honest. Could you give them all chances? Gallox Bridge is an interesting starting point, I think. This is a horse that won at Kempton last time when he looked beaten for all money, beating Able Deputy by 2¾ lengths. He's been raised £6 for that effort. Did show a really willing attitude, which is probably more than you can say for the runner-up, who was a 14 race maiden. So I'm not sure whether that form line might just be overstated on the back of the fact of the second potentially chucking it in. So he'll be towards the top of the market there, Gallox Bridge.
Interesting jockey booking as well, Barry Geraghty for Tim Vaughan.
Yeah, that's a really interesting jockey booking. I think normal jockey there is Richard Johnson, who will have been claimed by Philip Hobbs for Al Alpha. So, but Barry Geraghty, you couldn't ask for a better jockey in the plate for this particular horse, could you?
Nope. But I sense you're willing to take him on, though, Ben.
Definitely. There's a couple that I've crossed off. Double Ross is a horse that I will have in mind for later in the season. I think he's the sort of horse that will show his hand early in the season, like he did when winning at Perth in September, and then his form might just drop away until he's handicapped for Cheltenham, and you might just see a different animal there. So I'm expecting Double Ross to have a similar handicap mark by the time March comes around. So off 1-3-3, I'm prepared to overlook him. Donna's Palm, who's a horse that had all the back class in the world, we're talking about Grade 1 performers. Well, Donna's Palm was a Grade 2 winner back in 2009, second in a Grade 1 to Solwit as well, and was rated a 160 hurdler at its peak, did have a run in August for New Connections there, and is so well handicapped off 125 that you couldn't possibly put a line through that one if it was to bounce back. But that's a big, big ask. The two that probably interest me here, Mark, are Grey Well Boy for Nick Williams, whose yard is going really well. I think he's had three winners in the last fortnight, Nick Williams. Rio de Savola winning at Warwick on Wednesday, a couple of other winners as well, and three places, so the yard couldn't be in better nick. And this is a pretty progressive horse as well. Third over this course last time behind Drumshambo, and second the time before over the same course. And we always say that Ascot form's crucial, isn't it? Because it tends to be a specialist track. Mm-hmm. So that would be of interest. And the other one that I'm going to make the selection, I think, is this Alpha for Philip Hobbs and Richard Johnson. It was third of eight behind Ikorodu Road at Stratford last time out, but I just think it's quite progressive. It had won at Stratford prior to that, beating Academy General by 3.5 lengths. I just like the form of the Philip Hobbs yard at the moment as well. They're going really well. I think he's had, what's he had here, 5 or 6 individual winners in the last fortnight. Gardler Victoire, Return Spring, Balthazar King, Milo Sam. Colour Squadron was really unlucky in the Paddy Power Gold Cup as well. So his yard's going really well. I like the handicap mark for this Al Alpha. I think he might just be the progressive type with this day in mind, rather than the likes of Donner's Palm, who's perhaps had its day, and ones with targets a bit further down the line like Double Ross. So Al Alpha will be the pick in the 240, Mark.
Okay, Al Alpha then in the 240. On to the 315 next. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles. 12 of them in the lineup for this one. And the one right down at the bottom there, Knight Alliance, has to defy a penalty for a success last time, but arrives here in good form, Ben.
Yeah, superb form. Yeah, beat Chaser's Chance by 15 lengths at Foss last time out, which is, it's a pretty solid effort, isn't it? This is another competitive race. You know, it's going to be really wide open betting. I think we talked before about course specialists here, and one such horse would be Grove Pride, who the last time he came to Ascot won a novice hurdle by 14 lengths in the hands of Richard Johnson. Robert Thornton gets the ride on Friday. You can put a line through his last run at Market Raisin in April because he did break a blood vessel there, and the handicappers obligingly dropped him to a mark of 131, off which he should be really competitive, I think, Grove Pride. So that one's going to be in the mix. We talked about jockey bookings in the last race, didn't we? Barry Geraghty riding Galax Bridge for Tim Vaughan, and here's another interesting one, riding Wiesentraum for Lucy Wadham, who's another fairly progressive horse. Won 3 runs back, beating Finger on the Pulse at Southall, behind Booglet in a competitive race at Market Raisin before scoring, beating the Rainbow Hunter and Neck. So it's full of interesting horses, this one. Another one being Anna Cotty, who's won 3 of his last 6 starts. Where are we going to go for the selection here? I'm going to row back in with this Grove Pride. I think I do like that little form line at Ascot that says it acts on this specialist track. Henry Daler is a trainer that I do like, off a mark of 131. I think he might just have a little bit of manoeuvre to score off that mark, so I'm going to go with that Grove Pride. It'll be a decent price in the 315.
Okay, and on to the 350 next then. This is a handicap hurdle, a Class 2 handicap hurdle over 2 miles, and Dun Raven Storm here, Ben. You mentioned that course and distance form is important. He and Population have it, and Philip Hobbs in good form, as we already mentioned, so plenty of ticks in boxes for Dun Raven Storm.
Definitely Dun Raven Storm, yeah. He's had, let's have a look, only here, he's had 11 runs career, or 12 runs career, Dun Raven Storm, of which 4 have been here at Ascot. Won twice, beating Lush Life as a young horse in 2009, beat Recession Proof in 2010, fourth behind Born in a good handicap in 2012, and last time out, never nearer behind Pine Creek, came fourth, beating 9.5 lengths, which looked like a nice little tee up to this race for me, for Dun Raven Storm. A dropping class as well, back to Class 2 company from Class 1, and it'd be very difficult to put a line through this one. But again, it's a competitive race, isn't it?
It is. Are you going elsewhere then, or would you be siding with Dun Raven?
It's on the shortlist. I don't know. By the time I finish this preview, I might have made my mind up. It's that competitive. You look right down the bottom of the handicap. You've got a horse that's really well in here in the shape of Brinestone. Got a £7 penalty for obliging at Taunton last week off 114. Runs off 121 here, but the handicapper says it's deserving of a mark of 126. So has £5 in hand of the field on that basis, so that has to be on any shortlist, Brinestone. And probably even more intriguingly is this Population, who's got some really solid form against good horses, the likes of the new one and My Tentor Yours, but who's becoming a bit of a disappointment and gets the first time visor on Friday, this population. So I'm going to put a line through that one. Harder to put a line through Brinestone. And another two for consideration, this Hammersley Lake, first time in this country, had its six previous career starts in O'Toy, but not been seen since September 2011. Doesn't look very well handicapped off 1.37 on those efforts to me, but again, it's that Barry Geraghty axis with Nicky Henderson the trainer this time, so if there's money for that one, keep that in mind. And Discovery Bay, who's a really solid performer, consistent, you know what you're going to get with Discovery Bay. If you're looking for a place option, that's going to be bang in the mix. So really competitive, Mark. Very, very hard to put a line through any of them. But in the time that we've been talking about this race, I've decided to select Dunravenstorm to beat Discovery Bay and Brinestone.
Okay.
Combination TriCast, I think Mark will try there. How about that?
Okay. We are running towards the end of this podcast, Ben, so let's have a quick summary of your selections for Friday before you go.
I might have changed my mind on that 3.15 in the time that we've been talking here, but yeah, 2.40, I'm going for the bottom weight in the shape of Al Alpha. Some really interesting types in there, but I think some might have had their day and some might have targets further down the line. So Al Alpha there in the 2.40. In the 3.15, really tough, but to gone for Grove Pride, who is a course winner for Henry Daly. Robert Thornton doing the steering, and then another mighty competitive hurdle. Brinestone is the one that's got the handicap in his favour here, but Dunravenstorm was the one that took the eye last time out over this course, and I take that one to back up that effort and score Dunravenstorm in the last race at Ascot.
Good stuff. Looking forward to it. Thank you very much, Ben.
It's a really good card, and Hayduck's a cracking card as well, Mark, so it should be good for the guys on Friday.
Thank you very much, Ben.
Top man. Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Ben Bramley then on Friday's card at Ascot. We also have Haydock and Fosslass alongside that. A good afternoon of jumps racing to look forward to. Wolverhampton and Dundalk fill the berth in the evening. All weather action to finish the day on a Friday as usual. You'll hear all of the action on Racing Radio from 12:30 p.m. Stuart Beasley, Andy Holding and Sean Quinn will be in the studio. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.